The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 594. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, you're by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we have returned for another show. Little light on people. We'll see what happens. Chris said he's going to show up a little bit later. His daughter's, you know, being rambunctious, so gotta put her to bed. You know, so good luck to him on that. Richard, we don't know. You know, he may show up, he may not show up. And of course, you know, Bread of the Wild is Bread of the Wild, you know, so he may or may not show up too. Interesting stuff. Yeah, I don't really have any much to lead in. We just jump right into it. The PlayStation backlash continues, Pete. What is it now? 3 weeks! And dudes are still on that ass. Now, again, I said I generally sympathize with the group, but it is kind of getting to a point where it's like, okay, guys, you need some, you need, like, you're shooting your shots. Got to aim the weapons a little better, but we'll get into that. One of the more interesting stories, and again, I'm going to kind of just leave it open. I have some stories here, but we're not going to go in exact order. It's just whatever comes up for the PlayStation stuff. The main one is coming from Alana Pierce. By the way, Carlos, do me a favor and check the stream because the bars here are red. That's not a good thing. So hopefully we're coming through, you know?
I'll check it out.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, Alana Pierce, former PlayStation employee, Sony Santa Monica, and obviously before that, IGN. And she, you know, even though she doesn't work with Sony anymore, she still obviously has contacts there. Go, Carlos, we're green now, so we're good. We should be good, you know? So she's got some contacts there. And because she left Sony relatively recently, about a year ago, maybe less than that. So obviously she still knows people there. And they're telling her stories. Basically, and again, I do want to preface it with, this is according to her sources. Take all this with a grain of salt. I'm not saying this is real. I think it is, but we can't say it is. Just for legal purposes, you know? And by legal purposes, I just want to be, you know, factual about stuff. They told her that Sony knew that this was going to happen, the backlash, and they specifically told their social media people to prepare. And apparently, I don't have the exact quote here, but one of the quote was, the most stringent media, like muzzle ever or whatever, like, don't say shit, you know, is the word. I believe it. Again, we don't know if this is true, but I personally believe it, you know? Manny, I know you had some things to say about this, so go ahead. You're muted.
I would say, to be honest, it didn't take rocket science to know that was happening. Like, especially with the way they've been sort of mom and mitt pretending, you know, they have their fingers in their ears. No, they're pretending, they're going like full WWF, where it's like, once, you know, somebody leaves the WWF, they don't exist. So this, they're not even addressing any of it, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely think, yes, it's probably is that way, just by the way any of this stuff is going. And, you know, for later stories that we have going on here, It's definitely obvious.
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild stuff. I'm going to try to bring up the quote here. Hey, we're joined by Rich. So, Rich, we're talking about the, you know, story about Alana Pierce saying that her sources were saying that Sony knew about the backlash to the No Diss thing, and that the social media people are apparently, like, they have, like, a muzzle on them. It's like, don't say shit. What do you think about that story?
Oh, yes. Very, very controversial. I do believe there is some truth to this. You know, Alana Pierce is not working there anymore. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things that she learned about or had to go through while she was there working with Sony Santa Monica. I do believe it's true. And I also believe that Sony is not going to, you know, reverse their decision. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she said. She's like, guys, they're not changing their position. And here's the quote. Yeah, here's the exact quote. Sony has imposed, quote, the strictest social media guidelines, end quote. So, again, we don't know if this is true, but I believe it. I believe it. Another quote here is, they knew everyone would be pissed off. But the thing is, you know, and we're going to kind of touch on this. At least by Sony's numbers, they have means to justify this, even though there are reasons to question some of these numbers, you know? I don't know if that's what you wanted to jump into, Manny, because the report
in general, like the thing about a lot of this sort of stuff, it's like, okay, yeah, they're saying, okay, the digital sales are the top. Of course the digital sales are, because let's be honest, there are more digital there's more digital games than there are physical.
Nope.
The thing about if the idea is to move away from for that, then why aren't we comparing our, you know, apples to apples and to orange? You're literally saying, you're saying this big ass number of most of the majority of games versus what percentage is of actual physical titles.
Yeah.
And you can't actually search those numbers out.
No, you can't.
If you can say, okay, how many releases were there a year? You can't actually find out whatever that number. Even stupid Gemini says to you, "Oh, a lot." Or
yeah, because it doesn't
fucking know. And there's those numbers aren't out there. So it's like, how many games are released, and then how many of those are actually released physically? Which I don't know percentage. I don't even know if it's been 50. It's probably lower than 50.
Yeah.
I do not understand why Sony doesn't even take the responsibility to make even more money. Here's the thing. You can do the phase out of the physical. You know, you can get out of the brick and mortar stores and stop selling games there. What you can do is say, hey, you know what? Digital sales are overwhelming majority of sales for a video game. We want to limit the exposure to physical games because the margins are just not worth it anymore. What we will do is in our PlayStation store or PlayStation.com or wherever the hell they sell it, like, you know what? For our first party titles, we are going to release a limited amount or limited edition amount of games, physical game. You can purchase them in our site. They'll be 80 to 100 bucks. You know, the new God of War Lofi is going to be released physically through our store in a limited run. It's going to have all the bells and whistles, art book, all the stuff that actual physical collectors enjoy, you know, maybe a CD of the soundtrack. Make it so people, the hardcore fans that are into the physical games, are able to purchase a copy. You can charge more for that and people will buy it. And especially since they're limited, you create that artificial scarcity anyways that people will fall for. So it's a win-win for them.
You're muted. Oh, am I?
Manny, you're muted.
Oh, Manny, yeah.
For me, I thought that could have been the plan. Like, in other words, okay, yes, we know that they're not the, you know, the ball busting price, they're not doing exact gangbusters, right? So then why not do something like that where you release something that's for the collectors out there? Like something very similar to what is currently done in the Blu-ray and DVD market, right? You know, it's more Blu-ray and HD DVD market, Ultra Blu-ray, whatever. Anyway, there's a lot of boutique companies that get the rights to do these movies, right? Or put out special edition versions of films, like currently Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein is getting a release by Criterion. So essentially you have all these other publishers out there making discs doing this sort of stuff. And then maybe it doesn't necessarily, yeah, okay, let's say Sony doesn't do that. But at least have some sort of solution for people out there who really want those things. And I think, yeah, like I even put up the idea, like you have Slitterhead currently out there, right? There's only one version of Slitterhead, and you get a soundtrack, a CD soundtrack. You get an art book. You get a bunch of stickers. You get all this really good stuff. And it was only a $50 game. So that, why not do that? Why not do that sort of thing with games? Like, in other words, okay, yeah, you know, a little bit less coming out of, but just at least keep these things out there for the people that want to still continue to do that thing. Not just close the door because you're doing it. And you can even do shit like this. You can literally, it's like, okay, let's say, you know, like, you have, you know, some places do retail sales. You know, PlayStation used to has a website currently, Direct PlayStation, where you can literally buy directly from them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like it's a different store.
Yeah, it's like, do they just not want to, like, they could, I don't know why they couldn't, at least, if you don't want to manufacture a new disk drive, why can't you make the existing disk drive, you know, the detachable one, make that compatible with the PS6? Because you're right about
compatible.
That. Yeah, make that compatible with the PS6, and then Sony itself doesn't need to worry about this. Let the individual companies do it, should they choose.
Or again, another thing, like, okay, you can choose, they can do those disk drives, or even more granular. You can literally just get a external drive, and they have a bunch of external drives that they're compatible with, right?
Yeah.
Like, stick it into your PlayStation, it registers it or does whatever, you know, does whatever it needs to do, and you just do it that way. It doesn't need to be, I don't think that they should be closing the door to, especially when you look at a lot of countries out there who don't have the best internet, who don't have a lot of the infrastructure that United States even does, you know?
Yeah.
I may hear people like in Australia saying they're really pissed off about this, you know, other countries that you would think like, wait, what, wouldn't they have something better? Like, I don't know. What is gaming like in the fucking Philippines?
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I ask our Filipino fans.
Yeah. Right, shout out to them. You know,
I think, it's all about control, you know?
Yeah.
And I talk about Resident,
you know,
they want you, they don't, I mean, Nintendo, Sony, they've detested the secondhand market for the longest. The GameStops, you know, the eBays, anywhere where you can just, you know, sell the game and them not taking a cut from that revenue is something that irks them. So they want full control of them.
Yeah.
They want that, and they just found the opportunity.
Yeah, and other big publishers, they do the same, Carlos. They want, you know, they want the control. You notice how none of the other guys are decrying this, the big guys. Right, your boy Yves Guillemot, he's like, hey, it's not a big deal, you know. all these publishers want this, and I'm pretty sure, you know, they're like, oh, thank you, Sony, you gave us the excuse now. You know, there's some smaller developers, indie guys specifically. It's like, what the hell are you doing? But the big guys, you don't see Capcom decrying this. You don't see Square Enix decrying this. You know,
and I've heard that the numbers for Resident Evil, the last Resident Evil, even though they did say that the sales on Steam were pretty damn good, but I heard that the physical disc sales for that game were actually really good as well.
Yeah, which is interesting because apparently Capcom, they said like 90% of their games are selling digitally now, which is interesting. I wanted to read this. Hey, what's going on, Brett?
The podcast.
Yeah, we're on. So here's the quote I wanted to read. So this is what Alana Pierce said about what she was told. Sony already knew everybody would be pissed off. They knew this. People working within Sony first party studios told me Sony had the strictest social media guidelines for this particular thing they've ever seen. Sony does somewhat regularly tell employees what they can or can't say about certain things. I was under a lot of guidelines when I was working on God of War Lofi. I still am. And they did send me guidelines regarding what I can say on the day the game was announced. But in this instance, it's apparently the strictest the employees I spoke to have ever seen regarding public communications. They would only have done this if they knew it was going to be an enormous PR issue. This is no surprise to them. Brett, I'm pretty sure you know we're talking about how Sony apparently knew about the backlash, and they told all their employees, they gave them really strict rules about commenting on social media. So what's your take on that?
I mean, at this point, I feel like I'm just pointing towards a bulletin board covered in red string and gesturing wildly like, yeah, it's nefarious and manipulative and insidery and every bad thing that you could think. Like, there's no way that they would be like that meticulously cartoonishly evil. The answer is yes, they would. So just, I guess, rule 34, that shit, just what or the equivalent, like, if you can think about it being mustache twirlingly bad, I'm pretty sure Sony has done it. Like, I would not be surprised if you told me Sony sold fucking water back to withering orphans.
Yeah.
Or that the PS6 was like, yeah, like harnessing the souls of the unborn or some stupid shit like that. Like, honestly, there's nothing that's going to shock me.
Yeah, no, it's wild stuff. But again, some of the things, the other thing I wanted to talk about was some of the backlash that's happening to other things that aren't exactly PlayStation. Like, for example, every time PlayStation retweets something from an indie developer, that the comments get fucking destroyed. And I've even heard instances where the developer gets shit just for being associated with Sony, which is crazy, you know? I even saw today that there's a new trailer for the Resident Evil movie that got bombarded with hate from the no diss people. So this is what I was kind of talking about before. Like, guys, I'm with you, but you got to aim those shots better, you know? Like they had a new trailer for Wolverine and Marvel Tokon. The comments were full. No diss, no buy. Both of those games are on discs, you know? So it's okay. Like, so it's like, again, I sympathize with them.
They're shooting at everything.
Yeah, they're shooting at everything. I get it. I understand it. You want to get your voice heard, and you should do that. But you got to be more tactful about it, you know?
Especially when it comes to
indie games.
I don't like, here's the thing, and I fucking hate this. I want to preface this with, I fucking hate this. But Sony doesn't need to worry about their long-term reputation, because that's not how stonks work, right? All they need to worry about is their short-term reputation. And their short-term reputation is bolstered by the fact that they're fucking their customers, ruining their long-term reputation. But shareholders love that, so Sony is actively fucking over and pissing off their customer, like burning their futures to make fair weather stockholders happy, and everything is working as intended. That's the fucking problem. Even the executives at Sony don't give a shit if Sony is a fucking company 5 years from now, maybe even 2 years from now. The shareholders don't give a shit. Literally nobody who has any power has any motivation to make sure that this baby doesn't die in its crib. There's no, in fact, if they did, free baby meat. Damn. And then everybody jumps out the window with a golden parachute. Like, it's honestly, like, the motivation has become so ridiculously stupid that it's literally gone to, if we seem like we're screwing over our customers, the shareholders will be happy and it'll ruin our brand, but that doesn't matter because that's a tomorrow problem. And that's not like ghoulish hyperbole. That's just fucking, that's literally the shit that's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it all over the place too. It's like, you know, a bunch of people, a bunch of companies that just literally abandoning consumer products.
Yeah. I know this is not a tech podcast, but I need to bring this up. I wrote a story today about how AMD has a new GPU with 31,000 gigs of RAM. 31,000. 31,000. That's where your RAM is going to shit like that, you know?
How? Where?
It's for a data center.
Data center.
How big is this thing?
It's huge. It's fucking big. It's a data center, you know? But my point is, that's where your fucking RAM is going. You don't matter to these companies. They don't give a shit about you because they make more money off enterprise than they do you, you know? This is why, you know, Manny, you brought up an external drive. Yeah, a fucking external drive that'll probably cost more than your console, you know? You showed me those fucking prices, man.
No, I mean, I don't mean like I'm sure making fucking CD drives or DVD drives is dirt cheap. I mean, yeah. I was talking about that. Like,
okay, because if you're talking about like storing a game data-wise.
Talking about an external disk drive. If PlayStation and Sony doesn't want to make those things, then why not open up the door and put a allow people to put an external drive on their yeah. console.
Like Carlos said, just control
off the market piece, off the market thing. But yeah, yeah, obviously it's all about control, and they don't want to do that. That's why you have to register your stupid drive that you put inside of the current PlayStation, you know, to your fucking console.
Yeah. Well, it's also twofold. Like, sure, like let's say they can produce a drive for $20, right? They're like, oh well, if we don't say this drive, we're out $200. No. If they pivot towards making AI products, they could sell that AI lens or whatever for $100 at marked up AI prices. So, no, selling you a drive doesn't cost them $20. It costs them $120.
Yeah. To be fair, they do sell your drive for $70 right now.
I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, it went up due to inflation.
You guys got to look at, like...
Current market.
Well, when we're talking about value, like, these people don't... Like, we're disconnected from reality. We're not talking about money that was made or not made. We're talking about potential money that was lost due to not producing something. So, like, a lost sale is a lost potential value instead of just not money made. So, yeah, like, them selling you a drive isn't just, you know, them selling you a drive. It's them not selling an AI company a something, which is one of the big reasons that they pivoted over that factory. It wasn't just that they're taking games away from you and they're pulling back and not, you know, draining the market. That was a benefit. But also, they make AI money by doing this. And fuck you.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris, who's joining us. So, Chris, we're just talking about, you know, the general backlash of, you know, the no disc stuff. Specifically, Alana Pierce's report about how her contacts at Sony said, hey, this is the strictest media backlash they've ever had to deal with, you know, because they knew people would be pissed off. What are your thoughts on that and all the other drama that's been happening?
Yeah, well, they're moving forward with this. And I caught a little bit when I came in that it's about the DRM and licenses. Like they don't want to have to worry about the overhead of drives or physical media or anything, and they could control the content. They already shown that, like the Studio Canal rug pull from everyone. Yeah. Was like a big red flag, right, and that happened like a week or a little more than a week before they announced this, right? So they can pull anything they want. They make you sign a EULA that basically, even though you pay $60, $70, $80, $100, whatever for the game, you're buying a license. You're not buying the game anymore. And this is all very Orwellian and terrible, and that's why they're facing backlash. But they think they can weather the backlash because, again, they have high PS Plus subscriptions, high monthly active users, so they think that the amount of people that are angry about this and I'm sure they, you know, these guys sit with spreadsheets all day and they figure out based on usage or whatever, who's going to probably jump ship because they're pissed, right? And they've crunched those numbers and figure like, well, it's in that sweet spot. It's like maybe 8% or 10% of users. We can weather that. That's how they think of us. Like they just think we're just numbers on a sheet. They don't care what we think. They don't care about individual gripes. They don't care about collectors. They don't care about game preservation. They don't care about any of that. All they care about is the numbers on the sheet. And every quarter, what has to happen for the shareholders, numbers go up and to the right every time. So that's all they give a shit about. And so that's all they calculate. And that's why they make this announcement. And that's why they do it with impunity. And that's why I saw some guy say he can't download any of his Vita games anymore. He's completely cut off from the store, so they already started shutting that down.
You're right, Brentford.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I thought I was on mute.
Nope.
crazy. It's all girls. And yeah, they knew, like, I realize what Alana Pierce is saying, like, that they're on, so, like, you know, they go radio silent, but they knew, yes, obviously they knew, like, what the reception was going to be. But here's the thing, it's like, Sony right now has like the highest monthly active users out of anybody, so they're just like, we could weather this storm. People will forget it. They're hoping people will forget about it because it's like, look, we're just going to keep pushing forward. People will cry now, and then they're going to stop, and then they're going to keep buying games. And that's what they think. They just think we're like goldfish. We're just going to forget and whatever. And for many, they do. And some people don't care. Some people are just, they have their digital library, and they're like, Well, so, you know, they haven't pulled my licenses yet, so I'm okay. Well, you know, just give it time. Like with anything, man. Give it time.
Yeah. And then, Chris, what are your thoughts on, you know, indies and games that have discs and even movies getting, you know, bombarded with the no disc people? Chris, the Resident Evil movie's getting bombarded with these people. The movie.
It's because it's a Sony Pictures film. That's why.
Yeah. And again,
Spider-Man's been getting it too, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Chris, because today, you know, San Diego Comic-Con started. They had a Sony panel, which Sony didn't take any questions, by the way, people. So Chris, they had new trailers for Wolverine and Marvel Tokon. No disc, no buy. Those games have discs. Yeah. You know? But yeah, what do you think about that? You know, people catching strays. Indie developers are pissed, like, hey, we don't want to catch all this heat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's collateral damage. This is why Rockstar asked them after they made the announcement to pull all the GTA 6 badging off of PlayStation. They pulled it off the app. They pulled it off the thing. They're like, look, we're catching collateral flack because of your announcement. Like, you gotta cool it, right? And Rockstar, you know, Take-Two can't tell them what to do. It's like, hey, you can't do that to people. No, they're just like, look, we don't want to catch any heat for this. Indies don't want to catch any heat for this. Anybody publishing on PlayStation doesn't want to catch heat for this. But that's the problem. It's like people are angry and they don't know where to turn. Sony's ignoring them. They don't give shit. So people are just going to lash out in every direction. And it's like, but you can't go to an indie guy and yell like, oh, no disc, no buy. What is the indie guy supposed to do? Is he supposed to press disc for everybody? It's his responsibility. It's like, is he supposed to go make a deal with Limited Run and take a good chunk of the sales out to just get stuff for us? That's different. You have to pick your battles. The battle is simple. Yelling at Sony does nothing. Yeah. Yelling at indie guys does nothing. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I agree with that. It's like, you know, I said this before you got on. I wish these guys, you're shooting your gun. It's like, put away the shotgun, get a rifle, you know, like something that's more focused here, because you're kind of starting to do yourself damage, you know, and I don't like that because I think they need to be heard, but not like that.
Yeah, yeah. You got to pick your battles. The only battle that Sony has and their only thing they're going to listen to is if you cut in numbers PS Plus subscription. If you cut PS Plus, then they're going to listen, but you have to do it in solidarity. It can't just be some of you or like you're going to yell no disc, no buy, and then you go back and you're playing you know, Halo on PlayStation or whatever. Like, that's fine and all, like, you know, you're angry, but you're just flailing. You need to focus, and the only thing they're going to listen to, and Mark, Sony's not going to listen to anything else. You could protest, you could
sign a petition.
Yes, you could write a petition anywhere.
People have done that.
Change.org, like, no, that doesn't do shit. They don't care because Change.org doesn't put money in Sony's pockets. Who puts money in their pockets? You do. So take the money out, and then they're going to listen.
Yeah.
And it has to be in significant numbers. It has to be enough people where they're like, this is way over what we thought. They could reverse course, but it's only if you're in numbers. And the only way to do that, you need to get at least 12 to 15 million, I think, or maybe more. I don't know. I was trying to calculate this. PS Plus subscribers to drop. Once you get over the, like, 20%, if you get 20, 25% of PS Plus subscribers to check out, and that will be way over their estimations, and they see the bleeding, they will immediately backtrack. They'll figure out a way to start pressing disc again. I guarantee it. So that's the only way, though. There's nothing else. Yelling at studios or yelling at the sky, whatever, that's all wasted energy. Don't even bother.
Yeah. Brian, get in here, bro. What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, first, around the Alana Pierce statement, I find it funny that she made that type of statement. Well, she didn't make a statement condemning Sony's actions, even though she starred in a video game about corporations basically getting unlimited power and ruining the lives of everyone. So I do find that very telling, and also I guess it shows that she has zero awareness of anything. But that's a whole nother topic I'll add on my Alana Pierce hate stack. but if what she says is true, then it means that Sony just doesn't care about the backlash. And they never will. And in that kind of way, it sort of justifies the weird splashback that everything around Sony is getting. Because if Sony knew that they were going to get backlash and they don't care, it means that they were willing just to say, okay, they'll, like, the people that we upset will hate us, but we can just weather that storm. Whereas if everything around Sony is getting the pressure and the heat as well, maybe it could force them to rethink their position with Sony. And if enough people decide to reconsider, then maybe that could be enough to pressure Sony to go back on the statement. Because again, we all know that Sony's not going to do anything if we sit here and do change.org petitions and we just tweet out saying no disc, no buy.
Again, but do you want to?
Do we want to what?
Like, I'm actually curious about this. Like, even if you get Sony to pull back, like, cool, you've got them to push back on a thing that they said they weren't going to do 10 years ago. Like, it's a temporary measure. Do you still want to back that company, even if they do go back?
That's a good question. My thoughts are probably no. Again, I guess with Chris here, like, the smart thing to do is, if this is something that you really don't like, then the best thing you can do is literally just no buy in general. So not even just no disc, no buy, just no buy in general. Walk away. Support their competitors. Again, hell, buy a Switch too. Hmm. You know, that is the one guaranteed thing. Again, as Chris said, that will guarantee that Sony will, again, but whether or not they do reverse, they will still feel it. And that's like the one power that you have. Again, as Tony says, you vote with your wallet.
Yep.
So again, but it needs to be enough people. And again, as much as I like the idea of this movement, I don't think there'll be enough people that will cause enough of a stink and cause enough pressure for Sony to change anything. Like, yeah. I honestly don't think that will happen. Even if people do pull out, and again, going back to what Brett said, and Sony change, again, do you want to support them after that? And again, my honest answer is don't. They're not worth it. Like, again, they've done this before. They're going to try and do it again if that's the case. So I think the best thing that you can do is just sell your PlayStation, stop buying PlayStation games, hell, buy an Xbox, buy a Switch until they do it, and then you just sell everything and become a monk. So I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about, which is related to this, is A Tale of Two Numbers by Circana that happened this week. And it's being used by both sides to kind of prop up their argument. But both sides are actually wrong, in my opinion. So the first one is, numbers came out that only 7 PlayStation 5 exclusives sold over 100,000 copies. The part they don't tell you is that it's only for North America. So that's not a full picture, right? So the side saying that, you know, oh, you guys don't buy games, they're using that as ammo. And then conversely, again, same firm, right, said that 73% of the PS5s that are out there are physical, right? So people are saying, oh, see, that proves it. Like, no, it doesn't prove shit, because Sony purposely only sold the physical one for like 2 years straight because it was more expensive. It was 8-2, right? For example, I have the physical version. I didn't want that. I wanted the digital one, but I couldn't fucking buy it. So that's how they kind of trick you there into buying the more expensive one. But I just find it funny how the same people who said, oh, no, actually, you know what, Brett, go ahead, Brett. Then I'll make my point that I wanted to make.
I want to kind of add this addendum on what you're about to say. So if this is only people in North America, right?
For the 100,000, yes.
Okay, which is their primary
market. Actually, right, excuse me, for all of it, for everything I just said, yes, it's all for North America, yes.
Okay, which is their primary market, which is the ones that have access to PlayStation Network, which are the ones that are going to be pretty much the only thing left after they go digital. I'm not saying they're left only to North America, but that's like their biggest market in their
yeah.
So, like, it's not as irrelevant as you might think, just being in North America. That actually paints, I still agree, that doesn't paint a complete picture, but I think it paints more of a complete picture than you were about to think.
No, yeah, I agree with you. It does paint a I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah, North America is the lion's share of it, you know? The main thing I wanted to say was that I just find it funny that the same people who are like, oh, Matt Piscatella, who runs Circana, is a fucking liar with those digital numbers, turn around and then say he's telling you the truth about the physical numbers. Can't have it both ways, guys. Is he a liar or isn't he? You know?
Yeah. The answer is always yes. It's yes.
It's like, come on, guys. What are we doing here? You know, be consistent. But yeah, I am
shocked by that number. Yeah. Even if it's like only partially true and there's like a seed of truth in there, the fact that even in North America, Sony's been having trouble getting their exclusives to hit over 100,000. Like
for physical, know, for physical, Brian, for physical, like, for physical.
Okay.
Not totally.
Well, I mean, like,
how many physical games did they fucking sell? Like how many, like, what is it? We're talking about Concord of.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Brett, just to be fair, just to be clear, 100,000 physical of seven games, not the totality of it.
Yeah, but those seven games are all also physical releases. And like the waters have been muddied, but if I've understood correctly, like a good portion of those, like even if like, let's just say fucking 50%. So you're telling me like of Sony's mainline physical games, they're selling what, 200,000 to 300,000 copies in North America?
Remember 15, according to Sony, 15% of the games they sell are physical.
My ass sideways. You know, that's
Okay. So you don't believe Sony.
I've heard it anywhere from like 15 to 87%, and nobody seems to be able to back it up. So that's why I was like, let's say 50. Fuck it. Let's say 30.
But it's not 50. Hold on, Brent. I'm sorry. I have to stop you. We know for a fact that games like Spider-Man and God of War have sold excess of 10 million, right? So, yeah. They have. Yeah, not physically, all around. So if you have, let's take Spider-Man 2. It sold 10 million copies. 100,000 of those were sold physically. That's what it is. Okay. Understand?
That is some concrete math. Like, okay, yeah. We are getting somewhere. And I hate that we have to extrapolate backwards like fucking NASA scientists.
No choice.
Nobody will just fucking tell the number. But like, yes, if it sold over 10 million, but only 100,000 physical copies, we could at least start to get a picture of what the digital landscape looks like. But that's still, you know, we still have to ask, why is it like that? How did it get like that? Is it convenience, manufacturing? Like, there's still a lot of X factors, but that is still fascinating in a way that doesn't come up with any, you know, solutions right away. But it's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. But it kind of does match Sony's 15% thing, you know, fair.
So that like leads me to believe, like, is Sony, like, I felt like Sony was pretty conclusively being bullshit on that one, but that's sounding correct, but that's, again, by their metrics, so.
Yeah, because we have Sony's numbers for total sales on one end, and then an independent person telling you other sales, so we can't extrapolate, and Sony's not exactly lying, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting because I thought they had been, but maybe this is showing otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is like it's also about what number back are saying, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fergus, yeah, we did say that this is for the U.S., the U.S. numbers. But like Brett said, rightfully so, the U.S. is the lion's share of the thing here, not the only thing.
That's also,
you know?
That's also purely why they, that's also why they brought their, you know, their headquarters to the States, because the biggest section. I mean, it's that this all also sounds very, very Xbox too. This is like 360 era
sounding. But yeah, again, the backlash will continue. And again, this is the other thing. A couple of things I'm going to say, and I know I shouldn't do this, but I got to call somebody out, bro.
Who are you calling out?
So there's a guy on Twitter that I follows me, and I have no beef with him. His name is GTA Man, right? He is in every single post that Sony makes or anything related to Sony. No diss, no buy. His name is GTA Man. GTA 6, no physical copy. What are you doing, bro? What are you doing, bro? Because when fucking GTA 6 comes out and there's no diss, you're going to buy it. Hilarious. And then what's the other
there's
thing?
Also the other group, the other person that's always on everything is the person who runs the if it uh it what is it if it something about discs. It's an aggregate of what games are on disc. So in other words,
okay,
if you stick a disc in on day one, is the full game on the disc? It's called, I think it's called, Does It Play?
Okay.
And that guy curates a whole like website as to like, okay, if you put in Pragmata or you put in some other game, is the whole game in there? If you're, and do you need to do a check-in online in order to play that game, you know, or have a workable version of that.
Yeah.
That guy, anything Sony related, he always is like the top one.
Yeah. Yeah, there was another point I was going to make. I forgot now. But yeah, the backlash will continue. It'll be interesting to see how long this lasts, if dudes are about that life. I did bring up the San Diego Comic-Con thing. Sony didn't take any fucking questions during their panel, bro.
No, they didn't. We've said this before. They're not going to.
No surprise there. But yeah, we'll see. Very interesting. I've never seen this level of sustained hate towards Sony. Very interesting, you know. Keep it up, guys. Speak up, you know. But again, just aim your shots better. But keep it up, you know.
Does it outpace? I guess it outpaces the PS3 like hate that was at least volume wise.
Yeah, it does, and the level of it, the sustain of it. You know what I'm saying? Like. The PS3 definitely got hate, but it was more spread out, more diffuse. Oh yeah, Jeffrey, our boy JNL is bugging out. You know, Manny, you know our boy. You know, not gonna say his real name, but he's in every post. But he has an incentive. He's a retailer. You know,
he's a store.
Like, he's a store. You know,
like, yeah. Like that, and that's the other thing. It's like you have a lot of, you know. Limited Run Games has also been fairly quiet about this shit, too.
They haven't
said a damn thing about it. Like, there's so many other companies that specialize in this, in physical games, that are going to be seriously affected.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to... I've seen the articles about that, how basically Sony's going to kill the secondhand market, which sucks, you know?
It's like they go to Nintendo like, you see, motherfucker, this is how you do it.
Segway Kings, let's talk about Nintendo, because we've got this question 2 weeks in a row now. Is Nintendo now the savior of the gaming industry? This is a friendly reminder that Nintendo doesn't give a fuck about you. So basically, I believe Nintendo, you know, they had to pay the whole tariffs, right? But now they're getting their money back, and Nintendo flat out said they are under no obligation to give you back your money, gamers. So Nintendo loves you, right? Chris, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, I don't know. After everything we've seen from them, that anyone is surprised at this. They didn't even couch it. Like, what? The only thing I'm surprised at, and genuinely, is they didn't couch this in some fluffy marketing speak. This sounds like their lawyer came out and just said this. Like, flat out, like, no, we're under no legal obligation to give you back your money. Like, that sounds like a lawyer said that, right? And they just put that out there. I'm like, damn, oh, that's cold. Like, you didn't even have Treehouse fluff it up, maybe put Mario in front of that statement? No, nothing? Okay. So, yeah, they... You know, it's like Tony said, companies don't care about you. They don't. Like, every time it's like any market conditions, whatever, prices go up, they never come back down. And this is like they're getting their money back. The tariff market conditions that caused them to raise prices, and now they're getting that money back. They're not going to go, oh, here's a refund, or here's like a $20 eShop card or something. No, you get nothing and like it. This is how they operate. And again, I don't know what you want. Like, okay, no this, no buy. How about no refund, no buy? Do you want to boycott Nintendo too? Our choices are narrowing. I guess we're all PC gamers at this point. We just boycott everything.
Yeah, but again, By the way, I was reading some of the statement here, Chris. I didn't bother reading it, but it is super lawyer speak. I gave you the dumbed down version of it. You know what they said. But yeah, Nintendo got a refund from the government, and they're not passing it on to you. So just remember, Nintendo's not your friend, people, you know, because a lot we had that comment a lot. Oh, Nintendo, they're the savior, right? No, they're not, bro. No, they're not.
The only reason I was mentioning them last time in the possible was like the physical media guys. I'm like, mm-hmm. yes, if you want, they're the only ones keeping that going. So yes, but by no means are they good. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. As a matter of fact, Nintendo's very often stuck 15 years behind everyone else. So they're just like, this is just what they know to do. So they're doing it, right?
Yeah.
So it's just incidentally that they're stuck in their ways that you're getting physical media still from them. Press that's copies true. Or whatever.
Yeah, it yeah. wasn't like, yeah, it, yeah, you're right. It wasn't like, oh, people love physical media, keep it going. It's just they're set in their ways, you know? Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, the other thing is it's like they're the only, probably the only way you can literally just go to a store and buy something, you know, you don't even need to have a plate, an account with Nintendo in order to run.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Stick it in.
It's crazy, man. But there it is. Moving on here. I'm going to consider this kind of good news, actually, even though it sounds bad. Because remember, when the Steam Deck price went up, initially, instantly sold out, right? People wanted it. So, and that was very disappointing at first. Because we're like, okay, so even with the price hikes, it's going to get, people are going to still buy this shit. Well, it turns out that Steam Deck sales have dropped by 80%. So that's a good thing. You know, vote with your wallet, people. You don't want to pay those high-ass prices? Let these companies know. You know, and again, I'm saying this as someone who loves the Steam Deck. Fantastic system. But I also don't want companies to be encouraged to, that. You know, I don't want them to think, oh, shit, don't pay whatever price we set. You know, jack it up some more. You know, so hopefully, you know, we're getting less in here. But at the same time, it's not like they're going to lower it because they fucking can't. Because RAM costs too goddamn much, you know? So it's like a monkey's paw thing, you know? It's like, okay, people are not rewarding them by buying these expensive consoles, but they can't lower the prices because of the reason they had to raise them in the first place, you know? It's nuts, man. This timeline sucks, bro. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad it dropped because it just show them that, hey, listen, not everybody's going to be is going to follow this shit out. And I think that's a lot of people need to do that. I think any single instance of any of those people need to just say, no, we're not doing it. We're just going to buy a fucking used one. That's how the car. That's listen.
But even the used ones, they got a fucking price hike.
Well, here's the thing. It's like how so PC gamers can have some solidarity. They're just like, nah, this shit's too expensive. I'm out. Right. That exact thing is what earlier we were talking about needs to happen with Sony.
Yeah.
See what the PC guys did to Valve? They just went, nah, this shit's too expensive. I'm out. It's what you need to do with PS Plus right now. If you want your physical games back, that exact thing that just happened to Steam Deck needs to happen with PS Plus. That right there.
You're 100% right. And that's the thing I forgot that I wanted to say that I forgot. Now I remember it. Yeah, when it comes to PC, there's a united front when it comes to this shit, right? Not on console. The same week where everybody, you know, the disc guys were complaining about, oh, we don't get disc. What did the Call of Duty guys do? Oh, shit, Call of Duty's digital? Buy that shit, you know? So it's going to be very difficult for the no disc guys to win when the vast majority of PlayStation gamers don't give a fuck, you know? They're going to buy digital regardless. You know, so what do you think about that, Chris? There's no united front with the PlayStation guys. There's PlayStation guys telling the disc people that they're fucking idiots, you know? Yeah, so they're fighting with each other.
Yeah, there's no solidarity there. This is exactly why Sony's not concerned, right? They pay attention to this stuff, too. You know, they don't care people coming at them, but they watch this. It's like, yeah, let them fight. It's a Godzilla meme. They don't care because they... You don't have this kind of solidarity. What happened to Valve right there is what should happen. It won't happen. Just from what Tony said, it won't. That there's not enough unity within console gamers to come together and go,
yeah,
we need to unilaterally cancel PS Plus. We need to bombard them with cancellations. And if enough of us do it, they'll start to listen. No, because like you said, the Call of Duty guys, like, no, I'm good. The digital guys, I'm good. Fuck you guys. And so, okay, so... You have no solidarity. Sony learns that, and they accounted for you. They accounted for the no disc guys already, calculating the losses from you, estimating. Remember, they watch all our behaviors, like purchases, tiers of PS Plus, usage, hours played. They aggregate all this stuff, and everybody, all these companies are using AI to figure shit out. They're all got linked up with third-party resources, you know, to use LLMs to figure out behavior patterns and spending patterns and all this shit. So they know exactly, well, not exactly, but they can estimate to, within a good margin, who's going to drop out from this, who's going to get angry enough to actually take action. And it obviously was a low enough number where they're like, just make the announcement and everybody shut up about it. Don't even answer questions.
Yeah, no, you're right. Again, when those Call of Duty guys came out, and again, you're going to see this happen again. Do we have GTA 6 numbers? I'm pretty sure that's pretty astronomical, you know? So, the pre-orders. Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are, but again, I'm on the side of the physical guys, but I think it's a losing battle, man. I really do, you know? It's crazy. All right. We're going to end the show on a positive note. Believe it or not, good news happened, you know, this week.
Good news, everyone.
Like, was it like, what? Excuse me? And it came from Xbox people. Now, if you've been an Xbox gamer, right, you know, specifically on the PC side, you notice that it is actually has been impossible to play original Xbox games, right, on the PC. Well, it looks like that's changing. Right now, Microsoft is trying a preliminary thing. They're bringing old Xbox games back. The console we used to call the Xbox One. So the four games in question that are coming back are Blinks the Time Sweeper, Conquer Live and Reloaded, Fusion Frenzy. This one's fun. Crimson Skies. Pretty cool stuff. So Xbox, you know, for all their faults, they do try to preserve their old catalog. If you have an Xbox console, you can play these old games right now. You know, now they're doing it to PC, which is a good thing. And I was stunned. I was like, oh, shit, there's actually good news. You know, and they said, it's just a trial. There's going to be more. So get ready, you know, PC guys specifically. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's again, like, as much as a bunch of dickbags Microsoft is, their legacy is for the most part intact. Currently, you can play most of your a good portion of your Xbox original, Xbox 360, and all the other ones on your current console. In fact, they have a system where you could stick your disc in, it reads your disc, it verifies it, and it gives you the digital version if it's available.
Yep.
Sony don't got that. Sony wants you to play a life support PlayStation 3 all the way on the other side of the world through streaming. That's what they want. That's their solution. So, you know, again, like getting them to run on PC. I mean, people have been wanting that for a while now. Officially, like if they're able to get all of their legacy onto PC, they kind of don't need a console. They don't need a console officially. You know, you could just have an Xbox branded PC and just do it that way.
Yeah,
theoretically. So
go ahead, because there was something I wanted to.
Go ahead.
This is. It's not a tangent. It's related, you know, obviously with the PlayStation thing, right? Because one of the things that detractors of the disc people are saying is like, you know, like because one of the refrains is if PlayStation does this, I'm moving to PC. The counter argument has always been, why are you going to PC? I thought you wanted a disc. It's not about the disc, man. It's about protections, you know?
Yeah, it's about protections. Yeah. Along with this announcement, they said PlayStation said to you, yes, we are closing down the PlayStation 3 store, but we have an effective solution to essentially honor every single purchase that has been made on the PlayStation 3 on your current generation console.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And again, on PC, even if a game isn't currently available, right? If it was on PC, you can get your hands on it, you know? You don't have that option with PlayStation. So it's the battle of people wanting to own shit, even if it's not physical. You know, it seems that Sony doesn't understand that.
I went on Twitter, like some guy, you know, because I replied to something Danny had said about the thing there. And he's like, well, these people don't know, you know, just can't get with it. And I'm like, what do you mean people get with? I'm like, motherfucker, we're all in the same. He's like, he put up the whole idea of like, oh, well, you know, PlayStation really needs to be talked about. Is PlayStation really needs to, you know, get this, you know, get purchases in all in order. And I'm like, dude, you realize we're all in the fucking same boat, right?
This goes back to the solidarity thing. There is none. Yeah, you know, there's infighting like, now that, because of this.
It's only like, I'm like, dude, we're all in the same boat. They're literally removing shit from us, and you're just saying, I just want this. Like, no, give the whole deal. Don't just fuck, just say, oh, I'm with this portion of it. Like, they're fucking, like, the thing about it is that the thing that people don't seem to get is not any us versus them or any of that sort of stuff. They're legitimately taking something away that you fucking purchased.
That you bought, yeah.
You bought, and they're not honoring any of the other side of it either. So it's like I don't give them a pass on any side of this. It's fucked up on the digital side, and it's fucked up on the physical side.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So, but yeah, man, shout out to Xbox. You know, they're doing their thing.
You know, the company. Oh, but you know, the company that literally fired a bunch of people also has this. But which, by the way, I will also point out. That the head of the backwards compatibility division either was let go or retired.
Yes, which is troubling.
He was one of the people. So, I mean, granted, there's more than one person a part of that sort of division. I get that, but it also is kind of fucked up too. The guy literally got let go. I can't remember if he retired or got let go. I think it was like 17 years he retired or something like that. But it just doesn't look that good. This guy just left. You didn't give him anything, you know, like say, hey, you know, thanks for your whatever. You know, after X amount of years of working with Xbox to get their backward, compatibility going along. He doesn't get anything. And then not far from that to say, hey, by the way, old games on your PC.
Yeah. Yeah. Reminds me of The Simpsons. Oh, so that's it. After all these years, just, you know, goodbye. Good luck. We don't remember saying good luck. Oh, man. All right. Actually, there is one more thing. Brett, I'm putting you on the spotlight right now, bro. Get in here.
What up?
Tell us about PAL World.
Oh, shit. I mean, the fact that it just crossed 30 million definite sales and over 40.5 million lifetime users.
Yeah, that. Tell us about that.
The fact that it crossed 100,000 concurrent users, although the first time it came out, it got like 2 million users or something like that, which was one of the top most played games in Steam history of concurrent players, like cracked the top 10. This shit's doing not once, but twice Pokemon level numbers and breaking records completely as a studio that every mainline franchise and Nintendo itself both hated and tried to crush by calling it AI, shovelware, lowbrow humor, the kind of past games that we've all moved beyond now that we have Half-Life and, or not Half-Life, Last of Us 2 Remix, redub version 7 now with a twist of lime. So, yeah, despite everybody and everything saying that this game was a derivative, lowbrow, shovelware that was doing nothing but cloning, copying, and ripping off Nintendo has come to do actual Pokemon numbers, and everybody in the industry who is of the old guard fucking hates it, and I cannot be more elated with its success.
Awesome. Brian, what are your thoughts?
I know
Brian, what are your thoughts? Because I know you're a PAL World guy as well.
I'm very happy. I never expected it to do this well, and the fact that it did well when it actually came to the actual 1.0 release is, again, as Brett said, it's weird, because usually games just get that one surge. This is it getting two surges, so well done to them. I guess it shows that this is what people want, like. And it's weird. I mean, people have been screaming out for years that they want a Pokemon game that doesn't look like crap and on real hardware, not on handhelds. And lo and behold, someone made that and made lots of money. So it's weird. It's almost like listening to people that buy your product gives you good returns. Who knew?
Oh, I forgot. Brian, they've made this game has now made over $700 million.
God damn.
See, I know that is an amazing number, but the first thing that came to my head is, so basically they made in total less than what GTA 5 makes in a year.
Wait, how much is that in hours played?
How many dogs pet is that?
But no, but yeah, that is just fantastic. Again, I am very happy. I am happy that they'll go down as the second best-selling game this year, which is a feat in itself. And yeah, again, nothing but praise for these guys. They've done well.
Yeah, you know, Nintendo's got to be mad as fuck. They got to be as fuck.
And then tears. They're so good.
It's hilarious. Yeah. All right, man. I think that's going to do it for us. We'll keep an eye out on San Diego Comic-Con. Maybe some video game stuff will come out of it, which would be cool. Manny, I see you holding something, so I'm assuming you want to pimp something. So what you got to show the people?
Speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, here is the preview ash can of Dinner Date, which is, I think, about 10 pages of our comic, like a little less than half. So if you're at San Diego Comic-Con, head over to the Ignition Press booth or table and pick up a copy. That's a really good to finally see it. Soon it'll be normal size. That'll probably be October, Dinner Date number. The Turtles. Me, Kari, and I have a cover. So if you're into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that the new show that got canceled, and want to hear the further adventures of that show, why not pick up our cover specifically?
There you go.
Anyway, yeah, so that's it.
Get the cover and get it comic graded, right, Manny?
Yeah, get it comic. Yeah, spend like $75 getting it graded.
Man, I'm so glad the camera quality was perfect when you were showing that ash can. Sorry, but I got to see the art and the colors, you know? And it's very grisly scene, if you didn't see, by the way. Those were dead people around her.
Oh, yeah, she's a... Because the whole thing of the book is that it's a horror comedy, but her deal is he kills a bunch of asshole dudes by using like a dating app. She'll go through and like look for the assholes and then just sort of pick those guys to suck their blood. So I guess
she's a vampire.
I guess it's economical, like, you know. She uses that her little. That's going a few more months. So, but you can check it out right now. Comic-Con. A lot of fun information coming out.
Right. And Rich was coming up on the Coalition this weekend.
Speaking of dead people.
Excuse me?
Whoa.
Oh, yes. Well, Carlos did a quick little intro there. Let me finish what he meant to say. I Am Negan returns this Sunday. We are covering Dead City, which is the Negan spinoff show with Maggie. Very good show. And if you are interested, I would definitely encourage you to check out our coverage, which, you know, obviously we will be reviewing the entire season. But yeah, it starts on Sunday with episode one. So look out for that. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. The hardest working guy I know covering multiple TV shows and not getting any sleep. But hopefully he does get some rest. But yeah, he's covering a whole bunch of stuff, so definitely check out the TV Terminal on YouTube as well as on the Coalition, some of the stuff that he's been posting on there. As for the gaming stuff, because this is a gaming podcast, I'm playing a lot of things right now that I can't really say too much about. What I can say is that I am playing the Gears E-Day multiplayer beta.
Ooh.
So I will be talking about that in the future sometime next week, so stay tuned for that. And I'm playing some other stuff that I really can't talk about, but I will just say, yeah, there's quite a bit of gaming things happening, so stay tuned to thecoalition.com and stay tuned to the Coalition Gaming, because you're going to see a lot of stuff coming next week.
All right, awesome. All right, let's wrap it up, so make sure you follow Throw It on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. As always, shout out to the Discord gang, keeping things lively in there. You know, and for always fueling me with stories. Again, I get all the stories that we talk about directly from that chat. So shout out to them. Makes it a lot easier for me, you know. And of course, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
You know what also works out math-wise? That if you times trash by 3, it's still trash.
Yes. Oh, man. All right, guys. We shall return on Sunday. Start getting them questions in later.
Later.